I'm Tara Darabji reporting for KPFA at the Association of Writers and Writing Programs Conference here in Boston. The pleasure of catching up to Parini Sundara Lingam. She's the former Penn USA Fellow and co-editor of Indivisible, an anthology of contemporary South Asian American poetry. She's been on several panels and readings here in Boston, and I've had the pleasure of catching up with her here in the halls to discuss a panel that she organized called The Freedom to Write, Writers, Politics, and Propaganda. One of the questions I have for you is you organized this panel, The Freedom to Write, Writers, Politics, and Propaganda. Why did you really want social justice and human rights issues and the role that writers are playing to be part of the conversation here in Boston at the AWP?
I thought it was essential that in this day and age we really needed to have panels. AWP has about 500 panels over this three-day conference. 12,000 people, mainly writers, attending this conference. And I've noticed after a few years of coming to this conference that there's very little dialogue with what's going on in the outside world in terms of outside America in relationship to politics and literature. And in fact, I overheard a question today in a different panel where someone asked what poetry of witness is an irrelevant phrase these days. Poets have no role to play in politics. And I feel that that kind of comment comes from an insularity, a sense of not realizing how important the words of poets, fiction writers, essayists are, and the role they play in cultures in so many parts of the world, and where they are being silenced. And so of these 500 panels at AWP, I felt it was extremely important to have at least one that was discussing not just the intersection of poetry and politics, but specifically looking to the outside world and bringing it back to America and saying why is this relevant, addressing the issue of why this is relevant to the 12,000 American writers who are here today.
And Parini, as a poet, I know that you are from Sri Lanka, and how has the politics, both internationally in Sri Lanka and also here in the United States, affected your poetry?
It's very much, it's been difficult to write without that reference point. I didn't set out to be a political writer, and in fact I would still claim that I'm not a political writer per se. James Baldwin once said, I'm not a spokesperson for my people, I'm a witness to these times. And we live in a time at the first day of this, the beginning of this conference, so on March 5th, 2013, just as this conference was starting up in Sri Lanka, there was a very disturbing incident, and that's just one example where many hundred families of those who had been disappeared during the 30-year war in Sri Lanka were assembling to give a petition to the UN headquarters in Sri Lanka, and they were forcibly stopped. So this was a peaceful, not even a demonstration, a peaceful action. They were stopped by soldiers and corralled, unable to hand that petition over, and they were stopped from boarding a train in order to, their movements were being suppressed. And this continues to happen in Sri Lanka. We're dealing with a point at which a few months ago the Chief Justice of the country was removed, and any point at which somebody speaks out, they're told, very recently in February 27th, Mahinda Samarasinghe, who's a Sri Lankan government member, said that they did not condone, Sri Lankan's government does not condone unwarranted internationalization of such issues, and that undermines their local reconciliation processes. And by this he means actions by the UN, which is currently trying to investigate the human rights abuses that happened during 30 years of war, the genocide of 2009, which ended in 40,000 dead and 250,000 people taken into camps, and the continuing infractions against human rights to this very day, even at a point when the Sri Lankan government claims that the war has ended, there is still no peace. And so it's extremely important that writers witness what is going on.
And Parini, how is poetry a tool for this? How is poetry making visible the human rights atrocities, the thousands of disappeared, the voices that are not heard, the people who are being oppressed by governments around the world? How is poetry a voice of the voiceless and the oppressed?
It's I think poetry continues throughout the world to function as a deeply important tool for I think each of us as writers, when we express what we see and what we know, we are part of trying to tear down a wall of silence that regimes have been building. And those regimes build those walls of silence through threat, intimidation, even in this country where I know that writers who speak out about Sri Lanka or about other countries are then kept under surveillance by people from their home countries, not by Americans, but by people from their own home countries. So it's still very difficult to speak out, but the very act of even reading a simple poem or saying a simple statement of fact about the atrocities is to try and tear down those walls. And after all, when you think about it, this is really the function of any poet in any society. It's not just about trying to engage as an activist with an oppressive regime. Every poet, I think, functions in order to try and see reality through different eyes. And Seamus Heaney, who was here giving the keynote talk, said something in his talk when he said that what poetry's function is a symbolic resolution of opposing truths. So every time a poet writes, we're trying to kind of bring up contradictory ideas and try to resolve that and hopefully advance human thinking. Whatever country you come from or whatever your personal experience may be, it's that struggle to rethink ideas and to continually try and break down boundaries.
And Perina, I know that you have a poem for us.
Yes. This poem was... This is one of the first poems that I had published. It was published in Ireland in the journal Ciphers. And it is expressing the situation in Sri Lanka where there is a very deep state of censorship. It's called White Blindness. My country is a white blindness, an absence of newsprint, a vacuum of words, the falling snow of radio static. So where is there left for me to pour out my secrets? I will dig graves deep in the earth for them. I will tear holes in the white silence of the page and bury the words of witness deep in the tomb of the text. Let them bear fruit there. Let the sprouting grasses shout out their secrets. Let the blade-cut reeds blare out their names.
That was the voice of Perini joining us here in Boston in the halls, crouching down, catching a word with me before she goes on the panel. Thank you so much for joining us. And if people want to read more of your work, hear more about the poetry and the way that you bring together the contradictions in life and find the underlying truths, how can they find you, also get a hold of your immensely critical and important collection of poetry as well on South Asian Voices?
It would be easy to find me on my website or by Googling my name. The website I share with my partner, the composer and musician Carl Marian, and the website is wordandviolin.com. So wordandviolin.com, but also Googling my first name, Perini, usually finds me pretty easily. And thank you so much, Tara.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking time out of your day.
Thanks.
I'm Tara Darabji reporting from the AWP in Boston for KPFA Radio.